down. People went to him and said, hey, I need my retirement. And there was nothing there, nothing. It was all gone. Now, Bernie Madoff's lawyer asked for clemency or leniency because he returned $1 billion. The other 64 were gone. No one knows where it went. And so the reason that Bernie Madoff does stuff like this is he is an extreme version of what's going on in our society. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Have any of you guys seen the G. Gordon Liddy ad on recently, the one with where he talks about investing in gold? He says, invest in gold. I'm G. Gordon Liddy. I invested in gold and 10 years ago, and I have this much. And at the very end of the commercial, he takes a stack of gold coins and, you know, like this. You hear that sound? That is the sound of security. Is it? Is it really? See, the Bible tells us something totally different. In Luke 12, 13 through 21, I'll let you guys turn there. Luke chapter 12, 13 through 21, if you guys have a Bible, I want you to turn there so you can see this for yourselves. The Bible tells us quite a different story. Luke is the third gospel. It's in towards the back of the Bible. It's in the third book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke. You guys turn there. And for those of you guys that need help, chapter 12 is right after chapter 11. You'll be able to find that out. All right. It says this. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus was teaching a crowd of people, maybe kind of like this. And someone shouts out. Must have been a Pentecostal church. Jesus said, man, who appointed me judge and arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he told them this parable. A ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. The American dream. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. So is gold the sound of security? Could gold give you one more hour of your life? Can possessions, can money add anything to your life? No. The true sound of security is this. God saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the true sound of security. However, that's not what people are listening to now. They truly believe that you can have security by making a bunch of stuff for yourself, having more things here. And Bernie Madoff is the poster boy for this kind of thinking. So, what would Jesus say to Bernie Madoff? If you guys have been here for this series, you'll know that basically the whole gist of this series is that Jesus would not say anything to Bernie Madoff he doesn't say to us personally, okay? So the first thing that Jesus would say to Bernie Madoff is, what's so wrong in your heart that you feel like you have to have these things? What is so wrong in here that you feel like you have to have these things? See, in the Bible it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. That's 1 Timothy 6, 6-9. Why do we do it? Why do we really think this maniacal thought that having things will give us significance, that that's where our security is? It's because we have bought the lie that Bernie Madoff bought. And that's very simply this, that material things will satisfy spiritual needs. That's why people will work as much as they do. They think that if I can just buy the right set of jewelry, then my spouse will like me. If I can just have the right kind of genes, these people will accept me and I'll have the spiritual need of fellowship fulfilled. If I just have the right car, then people will think I'm cool and they won't laugh at me anymore. See, we think that these material things will satisfy our spiritual needs. And that's what happened to Bernie Madoff. But that's the problem. We weren't created to be filled with the finer significance, our spiritual needs fulfilled by material things. We weren't created for that. We were created to, they were created to be filled by God. We were created to find our delight in God. And so, guys, I want to ask you a question. This is the question, I think, facing us today. It's from a book called Crazy Love by Francis Chan. And he says this: the critical question for our generation and for every generation is this. If you could have heaven with no sickness, with all the friends you ever had on the earth, all the food you ever liked, all the leisure activities that you enjoyed, all the natural beauties you ever saw, all the physical pleasures you've ever tasted, no human conflict, any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ was not there? He goes on, how many of you will read those words and say, you know, I just might be okay with that? If you are deeply in love with God, you know you could never be satisfied in the heaven without Christ. So why, Jesus asked, what's so wrong in here that you feel like you need these things? Our answer, truthfully, would be, God, we simply don't love you as much as we thought. That's why. So a question for you guys, are you in love with God, or are you in love with the things that he provides? Are you in love with the TV? Are you in love with the job? Are you in love with the car? Does that love speak to you more than your love for God? Second thing that he would say to Bernie Madoff and to us is, you thought you were stealing from your clients, but you stole from me first. See, in Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable. He says that at the end of the time, everybody's going to be gathered before God, and God's going to separate everybody out, righteous from unrighteous. The righteous ones on his right, the unrighteous ones on his left. He's going to say to the ones here on the righteous side, he say, come to eternity prepared for you, because I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. You took care of me, you made me feel welcome, all these things. And the people are going to say, when in the world did we ever do that for you? And Jesus says, you know what? When you did it for the people around me, especially the poor and the oppressed and the losers and the uncool and the jerks, when you did that for them, you did that for me. And he's going to look at the other side and he's going to say, depart from me, because you guys didn't give me anything to drink. You didn't give me anything to eat. You made me feel ostracized. You laughed at me, all this kind of stuff. And they're going to say, Jesus, when did we ever do that to you? We were in church every Sunday. We never saw you. And he's going to say, you didn't do it for the people around you. So guys, the point is that whatever we do to people, we actually do to God. If we ever steal, if we ever take, we're actually taken from that person, we're taken from God. See, Mark Twain told a story about an umbrella he had. He had a big old ugly umbrella and he wanted to get rid of it. So he threw it in the trash can. Well, somebody recognized it as his and returned it to him. And he tried throwing it down a well. Well, somebody fixing the well found it and returned it to him. He tried all different kinds of stuff to get rid of this umbrella, but none of them worked. And then he said, oh, I have a great idea. I'm going to let a friend borrow it. And he never saw it again. So my question is this, you guys. Have you stolen? You stolen from your office. Maybe the pens are supposed to stay there. No one will notice a pen. Maybe from your school, taking something that really wasn't yours, supposed to stay there. No one will notice, no big deal. Maybe from your friends or family. Do you have stuff in your garage that you borrowed that you haven't returned? How about from your employer? Have you stolen time from your employer? If you're getting paid to work 40 hours, you better be working 40 hours. Have you gone home early without telling someone? Cheated on your timesheets? Are there things in your life that you are actually stealing, even though our culture says it's okay? You guys, you say, well, I may have taken a pen or two, but Bernie Madoff stole $65 billion. Doesn't even compare. Granted. But here's a question. Do you steal from God? Not from people. Do you steal from God? I was confronted by a lady one time when Cattles was just getting started, and she said, you know, if I'm going to go here, I want to know if you're going to preach on the tough topics. I said, well, what are the tough topics? And she said, radical Islam and homosexuality. And I said, oh, those are easy. I thought you meant a tough topic. You want to know radical Islam and homosexuality? Oh, hey, we love you. Come in. You need Jesus just as much as we do. Case closed. Okay? That's my sermon. See, I thought, and I said to her, I thought you meant a tough topic like getting people who call themselves Christ followers to actually do what the Bible says. That's what I thought you meant. You know, like I said, like the 94% of born-again believers that don't tithe, only 6% of people that call themselves Christ followers tithe. I thought you wanted me to preach on something like that, man. That's tough. Yeah, only 6% of Christians tithe. 94% disobey Scripture in that way. And you guys, the reason this is so very important is that God says in the book of Malachi, Malachi 3, he says, the entire nation of Israel was under a curse. They said, why? Because you're robbing me. You're stealing from me. They say, how in the world are you stealing from me? And God says, because I've told you to take 10% of your income. Actually, it's not your income. It's mine. Everything's mine. I'm giving you 90%. You're taking 100%. I want 10% because I've got a thing called the kingdom I want to fund. I want to feed people in Haiti. I want to repair bridges. I want to sponsor children in Africa. I want to do all that stuff. And that's what that 10% is for. That's what that is mine, and I'm using it to fund my kingdom. People, Bernie Madoff got in trouble, got arrested for taking money that was not his and spending it on himself. Can God say that about us? Can he say that about us? That we have taken money that's not ours, it's God's, and we spend it on ourselves. Probably so, if you're in the 94% of Christians that don't tithe. So God doesn't say anything to Bernie Madoff, he doesn't say to us. But before, the best thing about God is he's not always wagging his finger and saying you've done something wrong. He's always casting vision. God is always speaking a greater vision into our lives. And the third thing that he would say is that simplicity will set you free. See, 1 Timothy 6:10 says this, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. See, God knows us. He knows that this is going to be a big problem for us. And so he warns us. He says, some people eager for money have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I think that Bernie Madoff would probably agree with that, huh? Maybe some of you have too. Running after all that stuff, what has it gotten you? Racking up all that credit card debt so you can keep up with the neighbors, what has that gotten you? Having the car that makes you look cool, where's that gotten you? A repair shop, maybe? Spending yourself into a lifetime of debt, what has that gotten you? Nothing. And God says, what I have for you is so much better. And simplicity is not just giving away all your stuff. It's bigger than that. What simplicity means is that you think God's kingdom is more important than your kingdom. God's kingdom, the kingdom that he wants to build, that where things are as he wants them to be. God does not want people losing their homes. God does not want infants dying. God does not want people starving. His kingdom is not made that way. And when we love Jesus more than the things that he gives us, then what's important to God is important to us. And what God's goals are, our goals are. And if God wants to feed the people in Haiti, if God wants to feed the people in Africa, then that becomes important to us. And that's what simplicity means, that we don't burden ourselves with so much stuff, and we're free to give and to fund God's kingdom. Now, guys, I'm not just talking about Catalyst, okay? God's kingdom is so much bigger than Catalyst. I'm not up here saying you need to send your money, because you know what that would make me? That would make me like Bernie Madoff. Okay, there'd be no difference between me and Bernie Madoff if I said, send me your money. I'm not talking about that at all. Please don't hear that this morning. I'm talking about seeing a vision for God's kingdom and saying that's more important than my home, than my car, than my little insignificant, tiny life. That's what simplicity is. And that's why up on that banner right there, simplicity is one of the three things that we embrace here at Catalyst. Innovation, simplicity, and change. You guys, and getting back to what I was saying, this is God's church. If you do not want to give here, don't. God, this is God's church. He doesn't need your money. But you need to be giving somewhere. We need to stop stealing from God, and we need to start funding His kingdom because we love God, and the things that God loves, we love. There's a college professor that took his class down to Haiti, down to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And they went through the slums, and they saw the cardboard shacks of where everybody was living. They saw the disease. They saw the mass graves of people that had died in a recent flu epidemic. And two guys, one's named Philip, one named Charlie. After they got back from that trip, they looked at their professor and said, "From this point forward, we dedicate our lives to making sure what we just saw never happens. We will do whatever it takes to make sure that we never see that again." And the professor said, "Awesome." Well, Philip went to law school. Charlie went to medical school. The professor lost track of him. And after about 5 or 6 years, the professor got an email from Philip, the guy that went to law school, went to Harvard Law School. And he was raising support because he felt a call to go down to Alabama, to Montgomery, Alabama, and defend death row inmates. If you guys know anything about our justice system, it's not perfect. Most people that are executed are not executed simply because they're guilty, because they probably are. They're executed most often because they are poor and they can't afford good counsel. And Philip gave his life to doing free pro bono legal work down in Montgomery, Alabama. And he told his professor, he said, "And you know, I do that. I love it." And he said, "Doc, I'm good. I'm really, really good at this." And the professor said, "Philip, you have no idea how good you are. You saw a vision, and you saw a vision for God's kingdom and bringing the part of God's kingdom where it is. And you looked at this world. You graduated from Harvard. You could be making $500,000 a year. You said you can keep it. I want to pursue God's kingdom." And he had a vision, and he saw that he could make a difference for the kingdom because the people that God loved, he loved. Professor ran into Charlie a couple years later. To his credit, Charlie had gone to med school, but he was a surgeon. He wasn't the kind of surgeon that saved people's lives. He was the type of surgeon that catered to sexist expectations that this culture puts on women. He was doing plastic surgery, breast implants. And as he was telling his professor the things that he was doing, the professor said, stop, Charlie. You're upsetting me." He said, "What happened to you? You had a vision, you had a dream that you were going to make a difference, that you were going to pursue God's kingdom, that you were going to give your life to serve the poor, and you did this. You sold out. You're a sellout. You sold out for a BMW and a hot tub." Will God say that about us? That at one point we had a vision, that we had a dream, that we could do something great in this world, but the things that Bernie Madoff ran after, we ran after. Do we simply love the things that God provides for us, or do we love Jesus? Because when we love Jesus, if we can't imagine a heaven without Jesus, then the things that break Jesus' heart break our hearts. The things that are important to Jesus are important to us. The things that Jesus would do if he were in our situation, we do. That's what it means to be a Christian. And I pray that you guys today would not walk out these doors the same way you were when you came in. Jesus is always asking us, "What's so wrong in here, you guys? What's so wrong in here that you feel like you got to build your own kingdom? My kingdom's so much better. What's so wrong in here, guys? Gold's not the sound of security." The words from our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's security. Pray that that's what you guys will embrace. Let's pray. I want to thank all you guys for being here and celebrating this huge step in Catalyst Christian Church history, going to two services. I really want to thank you guys for being here. I want to reiterate the challenge by Francis Chan. I'll say this to you guys one more time. If you could have heaven with no sickness, with all your friends you ever had on earth, all the food you've ever liked, all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed, all the natural beauties you ever saw, all the physical pleasures you've ever tasted, no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ was not there? And my prayer here at Catalyst Christian Church is that we would say no. There's no way we could be satisfied in heaven without Jesus. Jesus is the reason we want to go to heaven. Jesus is the reason we live the way we live. So guys, take that as a challenge this week and ask yourself that question. A couple of announcements. John already mentioned the fundraiser for the missions. We're going to the Dominican Republic and we're going to Chile, taking two mission trips this year as a church. If you guys can't go on the trips, but you want to be part of funding the kingdom, mission trips are expensive. We want to invite you guys to come to the banquet thing. We are auctioning off several things. I'm auctioning off two free oil changes. I will change the oil of any two people's cars for free if you win the bid. I know Marty Allen's going to throw in a car detailing, all different kinds of stuff being auctioned off. It'll be a great night. Please fill out the tickets that are in there. Turn them in to the basket that is back there. Where's the basket? It's back there somewhere. It's back there right by the sound booth. Second thing, we are serious about funding God's kingdom, but we are not a wealthy church. And so what we're going to ask you guys to do, we borrowed this from our grandfather, that little old church over there off Harrisburg Road, Southland. And what we're going to ask you guys to do is that $1, that you guys take $1 every Sunday. We're going to ask you guys $1. If you're a family of six, put $6 in, and that will go straight. It will not come to us. We support three ministries. We support Bluegrass Christian Camp. We support Sarah Christian Village for all people that ministers to the elderly. Bluegrass Christian Camp ministers to the young. And Teen Mission, it ministers to people overseas. We support three ministries each month. The money that is collected from that will go to one of those ministries. In January, this month will be Bluegrass Christian Camp. Next month will be Sarah Christian Village. The month after that will be Teen Mission. And we'll continue that cycle on and on and on. So as you guys are leaving, if you guys would, if you want to, we're asking that you guys put a dollar in there. Last week we had about 180 people. If we picked up $180 every single week, we could do some serious damage, couldn't we? You know, these ministries would love that. So I'm placing that challenge on you. All it is $1. That's all we're asking. Also, if you are visiting with us, we are especially glad that you're here. We have a Connect card that is back there on that table where the lamps are. If you guys would stop by there and fill out one of these, or regular Catalyst people, if you brought somebody and you know a visitor, just take them over to the table, say, hey, would you fill this out for us? We're not adding your name to an email list or anything like that. What we are doing, we're going to send you an email, say, hey, we're glad you're there. Hey, how was your experience? What was it like for you coming to Catalyst for the first time? Let us follow up with you, let you know we love you. So if you guys would do that, fill out one of these, they're right back over there. God bless you. Have a great, great, great day.